Today's podcast is brought to you by our awesome patrons at patreon.com and by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Saratok. Over 180,000 titles to choose from in all your favorite genres. Take advantage of this special promotion. Go to audibletrial.com/Saratok and download your free audiobook today.
You're listening to Saratok. It's political.
This rhetoric about make America great again. Tell me when America was great and we'll go back there. I'm going with you.
Critical.
Hang on. Let me change some words here. All right, ready?
Adults with religious confusion who truly believe in a higher power that created us and actually cares what we do with our penises and vaginas should be treated with care, compassion, and kindness, but must not be officially affirmed in their confusion, no matter how sincerely held.
Fuck you.
And positively LGBT positive.
In many states, you can still be evicted from housing simply for being gay or transgender. Stand and fight with us.
Oh, and occasionally, completely absurd.
You women have a flame coming out of your vagina. You talk about being hot. Well, you sure not gonna be hot. You're gonna have a flame shooting out of your vagina. You're gonna need asbestos panties to stop that.
And now, from Orlando, Florida, your host, Sarah Austin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Saratok. This is episode 45, and my wife, Becca, in the studio with me.
Hey, everybody.
We were just discussing, as the intro rolled, that this is going to be another one of those Saratok shit shows. Literally, we have a topic lined up to discuss today. Well, I guess two topics, technically.
We could spin it all kinds of different ways.
So... today, we are going to take your calls, and I've got a fancy new device, so taking your calls actually works now, where in the past, we had a lot of technical difficulties. Now, we can actually take calls, so if at any point you'd like to join in, 224-407-2724, that's 224-40-SARAH-TALK. Sarah, the hell's our number? 224-40-SARAH. Hey, listen.
Do I need another chalkboard that tells you the phone number next to the episode number, next to how you pronounce all these names?
It's really funny because when I worked, it's not really funny, it's actually pathetic. When I worked in radio, I had to do this. I had all of this stuff like on a little note card next to me that I, you know. Thank you for calling the swap shop. You're live on the swap shop. Call us now on the swap shop. What the hell was our number? I don't even remember our number now. But it's 800 something.
Oh my god,
something WSOY. I don't know. Because I had to have it written down on a little card next to me.
You were that fool.
I was. Yeah. Have we not talked about my radio adventures?
Not in great detail.
I worked at a talk radio station, and well, I started out like part-time and overnights. I worked at one of their country stations, and I did like NASCAR races on the weekend.
Which
and
is
if
like
you know me,
the thing you hate the most in life, NASCAR and camo.
Exactly. But literally all I did was sit around in the studio and forced to listen to a NASCAR race on the radio, which is just awesome radio.
I'm surprised you lived through that.
I know. And I was listening for them to say, this is the racing network, whatever. And then I'd hit the button and play the ads. Like, literally, that was my job.
Oh, my gosh. Right?
So then I moved from there to the talk radio station, and I was doing, like, weekend overnights. And my job there was babysitting the automation system that was making my job obsolete. They had just installed a new...
It's so like training your replacement.
Yeah, exactly. But your replacement is AI. Like,
right.
For the people who are like terrified that robots are going to take over the world,
they will.
This actually happened to me. turned out okay, as it turns out. So they were in the process of changing from like the cart carousels, which are like 8-track giant tapes that fit into this carousel. And when a specific commercial needed to be played, signal went into this machine and it turned the carousel around and found the cart that it needed and moved the cart into the player and played the track. It was crazy. But in its day, it was the top of the line stuff, right? But before that, you were doing live reads. And then it was reel to reel. And then it went from reel to reel to, this is the most boring topic we've ever discussed. So let me finish. So they had just installed a computer system to manage all of the ads and everything. So I had to literally sit around overnight listening to the computer system do its job, do my job, right? I no longer had to hit play. I just had to make sure the computer hit play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really funny because I kind of got the radio station back with that. I didn't do that very long. And then there were like a tryout for the morning show producer at our talk radio station. And it was the number one rated morning show in the market. And I did that for several years. But I had to like audition against another two people, I think, to get the job. And I got the job. And so I would come in an hour before the show started. And we had some stuff that ran before our show. And then from 6 to 9, we did our live morning show. And then after that, I would, from, 9 to 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever, I would book guests for the show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the producer in radio terms. Except that anybody who knows me knows that I'm not a morning person, and that has never been the case. And so I can't tell you how many mornings Jeff Daly, programming director at the station, program director, would call me as I was flying down the road 10 minutes late, dead air on the radio. If I wasn't there to hit play on the thing that needed to happen at 6 o'clock or at 5 o'clock, it just went dead and silent. And it was funny because people who listened every day, it got used to that, and they would call in the station and be like, oh, must be you again.
Oh, my goodness.
That was fun. What was I telling the story for?
I don't remember.
I don't either. So our topics today, we are going to talk about Beauty and the Beast, the new Disney reboot. And I have been watching all along thinking, I can't wait for this. It's going to be great. And I'm not one of those people that salivates for new movies. I'm not a moviegoer. We don't really go to the theater a lot. I probably won't even see this one in the theater, but maybe I'll download it when it's available on my smart TV.
It'll probably be available on Netflix. I mean, Pete's Dragon reboot was available, and there was a few others that came to Netflix right away. Finding Dory.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
Like, you didn't even have to wait.
But, the beginning, when they first announced this thing was going to be happening, and that Emma Watson was going to be playing the lead, it is no secret.
No.
Emma Watson is my hall pass.
Your hall pass?
Yeah, my celebrity hall pass. If you
wait a minute,
isn't that
wait
what
a minute,
it's called
a free pass.
Free pass.
Wait,
what?
Wait a minute now. Back up a minute. No.
Was there someone
there
else?
There are others.
I'm pretty sure that Emma Watson is.
Well, you have the memory of a turnip. So
I do. You're right.
No, I know there were others. There's Alyssa Milano, I think, was that one time.
But back in the day, Alyssa Milano. Not now, Alyssa Milano.
There was somebody else. I don't remember.
I don't either. Whatever. Anyway, so I love Emma Watson. That's basically the point of that story.
I love her, too, but she's not my free pass. I don't love her that way.
Who's your free pass?
You know who my free pass is.
No, I don't have the memory of a fucking turnip.
Kate McKinnon is my free pass.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Anyway.
So, of course, we're going to be talking about this garbage where...
Wait, do I get two? Do I get a
sure,
boy and a girl?
Sure. You have whatever you want. Right. None of it's ever going to actually happen, so you just...
All right, then I have six.
Oh, Jesus.
No.
Okay.
Back to the subject at hand.
Whatever. I told you it was going to be a shit show today. Man. So, we're talking about the the nonsense that has come out since the announcement that the Disney movie will feature its first ever exclusively gay moment. I should have like a dun 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 mixed in ready to play, right?
I wonder if there's going to be, I'm sure there's going to be like protests at theaters.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh.
Yeah.
That'll be good. It'll be like the, well, maybe we'll get some live footage of people making fools of themselves at the theater.
Right?
Return of the, what was that thing? That segment you did when everybody was banning, oh, the boycotting Target.
Vigilante Justice League or whatever it was. Yeah. So, as we discuss this, we'd love to have your thoughts and opinions. You can get on the chat room in Spreaker if you're in Spreaker with us, and let us know what you think. If you want to give us a call, it's 224-407-2724. It's 224-40-Sarah. Yes?
And I was going to say, I'm monitoring all social media, so if you see our Facebook post and you just want to comment on there, you know, I'm looking at Spreaker, I'm looking at Facebook. I'll get Twitter up here in just a minute.
Sweet. So let's just start with the basics of the story here, right? The gay moment reportedly includes character LeFou, who is the sidekick of Gaston. And then I didn't know this when I first read the story, but apparently this character is being played by Josh Gad, which is just makes everything icing. So much better. Yeah, it's makes it so much more perfect.
We love Josh Gad.
Absolutely. So apparently this is a character who is the sidekick to Gaston, the manly man hunter, and has to hide that fact, but he really, you know, he wants to be Gaston. Everybody wants to be Gaston.
Sure.
But he also wants to be with Gaston. So I thought I'd start here with a boycott that I found. People are signing a stupid fucking petition to tell Disney no to LGBT agenda in Beauty and the Beast. And this is from lifepetitions.com. And I'm just going to read you the text from the petition because it's all pretty fantastic. And I may editorialize the tone of voice. The director of the much-anticipated Disney live-action version of Beauty and the Beast has proudly revealed that the movie will feature Disney's first-ever exclusively gay moment. The gay moment involves character LeFou, the sidekick of villain Gaston, played by actor Josh Gad. LeFou is someone who on one day wants to be Gaston and on another day wants to kiss Gaston, director Bill Condon said this week. He's confused about what he wants. It's somebody who's just realizing that he has these feelings. And Josh makes something really subtle and delicious out of it. And that's what has its payoff at the end, which I don't want to give away, but it is a nice, exclusively gay moment in a Disney movie. Now that's the quote from director Bill Condon that everybody's flipping out about. Gad has confirmed the gay moment in the movie involving his character, tweeting that he is, quote, beyond proud of this. In recent years, Disney has come under increasing pressure from LGBT activists to promote their agenda in their kids' films, including a campaign to make Elsa from Frozen a lesbian. With the highly public announcement that Beauty and the Beast will include an explicitly gay moment, Disney appears to have caved to this pressure. Send a strong message to Disney that children's entertainment is no place to promote a harmful sexual political agenda. Sign the boycott petition. Important note, after signing the boycott petition, you will be given the option to mail a physical postcard to the Disney company at their headquarters expressing your concern. Simply follow the instructions to mail the postcard. Are you going to be kidding me?
No, this is serious. This is real. People are dumb.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you don't like gay people. You don't like gay moments. Don't hang out with gay people. Don't watch movies with gay moments. I don't like vanilla cake. But you know what? My son's birthday is coming up, and I know that about half of those children probably shouldn't eat chocolate. So guess what I ordered? A vanilla cake.
Yeah.
You like, it's a, you know, I,
oh my gosh. Right. So if you don't like it, don't go.
Right.
Screw you. And the rest of us will have a great time.
You're not out there banning NASCAR just because.
Yeah, right. So what do you guys think of this? Call us 224-40-SARAH, 224-407-2724. Comment on social media. Let us know what you think. I'm going to read some comments off of Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Because, wow. And here's the thing. Look, here's what they said about the character, right? He's confused about what he wants. It's somebody who's just realizing that he has these feelings. There are young people all over this world who are going to connect so deeply with a character in that position. Are you saying that a movie shouldn't have this character because that's not something that you approve of? Should all of these characters just be Christian characters? Is that what we should do? They should all just, I mean, listen, here's my personal opinion before I get into some of the comments. You're talking about a made up fucking story about a woman who falls in love with a man who's been magically transformed into a monster. Who lives in a castle?
He's an animal. He's
whatever.
Like, he looks like a buffalo. I mean, if they're gonna,
it does
be,
look like a buffalo.
If you're gonna be upset about,
get on. It's the magic. The magic is the point.
About a gay moment. Why aren't you upset about the bestiality going on?
Jesus Christ! There's no sex scene. But listen, you got your panties in a twist over this movie. It's a magical story about talking teacups and candelabras and clocks, for fuck's sake. Coming from people who believe that donkeys can talk. Who believe that snakes can talk. Who believe that a virgin got pregnant without fucking somebody. Who believe that a man died and then rose from the dead. Don't you come after my magical story and not expect me to come after your magical story. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. It's a fairy tale, for fuck's sake. Okay. That's all. Yeah. That's what I have to say.
What do you mean?
Britain, our friend Britain says, let's just for a moment remember what the message and moral of Beauty and the Beast really is. It's about loving someone for who they are on the inside, that the physical form doesn't matter. It's a story of true love overcoming obstacles like the opposition of a village of old-fashioned people who idolize masculinity in men and think very little of women who don't live according to their misogynistic standards. See, it's not right for a woman to read. Soon they start getting ideas and thinking, for reference. The people from the village think that the beast is wrong and evil and take to the castle with torches and weapons in protest of he and Belle's love, and fear that the beast will destroy their way of life and come after their children. In the story, these ordinary people and their old-fashioned, small-minded ways of thinking become the real monsters. And the beast's love for Belle is the powerful and unrelenting force that saves not only the two of them, but also every other person who was trapped in that castle, outcast, different, and forced to hide themselves from the world, knowing that they would not be accepted by many of the common folk. Only when true love is realized does it become clear that the outer forms never really mattered. It was all about love. Everything was about love. When that love was recognized, everyone appeared the same to one another. It is so incredibly ironic that a story such as this, with such a clear moral lesson, is coming under such scrutiny for lightly introducing a single gay character in the midst of a very straight cast. It seems that the many who are protesting and boycotting perhaps need a reminder of the purpose of this story more than anyone else. Come up from the village and meet us at the castle, if you will. Recognize love for what it is, a love that cannot be killed or swept aside. Love is love is love.
I love Britain.
I love Britain too. Britain's amazing.
Come back, Britain. We miss you.
I know. I tried to get him in today and
he was busy.
He was busy. I know, right?
Just a quick shout out to Jake.
I love Jake. I just saw his comment. Jake says, I'm home alone listening to this Beauty and the Beast conversation. I'm dying laughing.
Call us.
Feel free to call in. Yeah, man.
Oh,
let me get back to the comments now. I clicked away.
Oh, no. See, that's why I have two screens going. I've got the Facebook and the Spreaker on the laptop, and then I've got the Twitter and the...
It's like mission control in here. It really is. We should take a picture of...
Everything?
Don't take a picture of me. I look like crap today.
I look like crap, too. It's
I'm gonna read some of the comments off of Britain's post here.
Okay. Where is his post? Because I didn't see that one.
It was on Facebook.
Oh, it was just on his page?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mary says, I kind of thought it was pointing out that more people should go into the mental health field and or make sure that they have insurance that covers it. The Beast, Belle, Gaston, a whole house of servants forcibly turned into household items. They need therapy, and posters for PTSD are overabundant. The need for therapy and posters for PTSD are overabundant. A little tongue in cheek. Beauty and the Beast, this is from Brittany. Beauty and the Beast is my all-time favorite movie, always has been. As a parent of a 10-year-old, and bringing another little one into the world soon, I believe that children are more than capable of forming their own opinions. A comment I have seen multiple times is, how am I going to explain a gay character to my child? This absolutely disgusts me, because it isn't that difficult to give an age-appropriate answer, but I'm willing to bet most kids aren't going to come out of the theater asking about LaFoe. The way we have explained it to our boy when he saw two men holding hands and kissing was as simple as, he loves him the same way mom and dad love each other. They just happen to be two guys. He wasn't disgusted. He wasn't judgmental. He just said, that's cool, and went on with his day.
Mm-hmm.
Hate is taught, and I never want to be the parent that teaches my children to be judgmental towards people who are different. He will know that everyone deserves love. And you may not always agree with someone else's views or opinions, but you don't spew hate. People are different. Everyone deserves love. And Disney is amazing, and I could never boycott them. I'm way too invested. Absolutely beautiful. So again, if you want to give us your thoughts, 224-40-SARAH, 224-407-2724. You can comment on our social media and get in the chat room with us at Spreaker.
I really want to watch the original Beauty and the Beast again.
Yeah.
Because I have these memories of this LaFoe character, and he was like Gaston's like right-hand guy, but I don't know. I always thought he was very fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering if it's really that far of a stretch. You know what I mean? Like, if he was just a cheeky character in the original movie, and then they decide to come in and redo this. So it just makes me wonder. Like, I really want to sit down and watch it.
Yeah.
Again, just to see, like, what was he like in the original movie? Because I know when people remake movies, they kind of change the characters a little bit. And like, Emma Watson was talking about her when she was on the Ellen Show the other day. And she was talking about her take on Belle and what she wanted Belle to be. And so, I don't know, I think it would be interesting to compare the two.
Yeah.
So.
Here's another comment from Facebook. Parents especially need to be aware of the intentionally pro-gay messages that Disney is beginning to place in their productions. It should no longer be assumed that Disney is safe for children, even in their kids' shows. It does not necessarily mean that it is all bad, but it does mean they cannot be trusted. and parents should be vigilant in what they allow their kids to watch. Now, some of this I'll agree with. We've talked a few times, and one of my sisters married a preacher. And with their children, they never let them see a movie that they had not seen themselves as the parents.
My parents were like that.
They went to the movie first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we could probably quibble about the judgments that they made, you know, based on that. Like, you know, when they come out of whatever, Aladdin, and mm-hmm. say, "Oh, I don't want my kids seeing that for whatever stupid religious reason."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can argue with that all day long. But yeah, absolutely. You should know what your kids are watching. Sure.
And like we were very limited in as to, we were not allowed to watch anything that was not rated G or PG. And if it was rated PG, then it was most likely screened mm-hmm. beforehand. But a lot of kids in my church, I'll call it a church, growing up, were not allowed to watch a lot of Disney movies because of the magic in the movie Aladdin,
right.
The Lion King. All of those were like off limits. I got to watch them all, but it was explained to me, this is why so-and-so can't watch it. But we're going to trust you to, you know, make your own judgment about right. it. Once I got older, when I was little, though, I think maybe that's why my parents had to do that. I was 8 years old, so I had already seen a lot of stuff. So then they had to kind of back check and say, well, you know, the Smurfs are bad because, and it's just, right. I think you, as a child, you kind of, you'll take whatever your parents say and believe it. And then as you get older, you kind of go, well, wait a minute. But I don't know how you can make a judgment call on something that your child can watch in a movie. I mean, yes, it's your decision as a parent, but at the same time, you've got to understand that these kids are going to go to their school and they're going to find out what happened in the movie one way or the other, especially once it gets to Netflix.
Yeah. Right.
You're better off educating them if, you know, explaining why you don't think it's appropriate and let them make their choice.
Someone says, I would like to understand this. This is Carol Lee. You are okay with explicitly teaching kids to think of themselves only. Aladdin. Holy moly. I'll get back to that in a moment. Yeah, stand by there. Hang tight there. Let me finish this comment, buddy. You ended up with a genie and didn't wish to end poverty of your city, country, or world? Mm. Really? That cutting absolutely stupid and dangerous rebellious deals to chase someone you barely know mm-hmm. will just work out. That's the Little Mermaid. That staying in an abusive situation is actually a virtue. No fairy godmother is coming in real life.
Yep.
These are all actually very wrong things to teach to kids, but you are okay with all of this, not with the extremely lightweight gay scenes, a few seconds in total in Beauty and the Beast. Let's go to Jake. I've got Jake on the line. Welcome to the show, Jake.
How you doing, guys?
Oh, great, man. How are you?
Hey, Jake.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, happy to have you. Long time no hear from.
No speaky.
Yeah.
It's been way too long. Way too long.
You should have just come over today.
Way too long.
Yeah. Dude, Monday mornings.
I'm slowly realizing that I've made a mistake here.
So what do you think about this nonsense?
Maybe one day soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's sort of funny because it's not. I think it's a big trigger for a lot of people for the wrong reasons. I mean, you guys have both seen the original animated film. I know the live action one hasn't come out yet, but he's not a predominant character in the movie at all. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think if Disney were trying to make a statement with it, they would have chosen to shoehorn a different character in, honestly. It doesn't, you know, either your candelabra Lumiere or your clock Cogsworth, that they're more prevalent. And that seems to be a relationship where if you wanted to work in a quote unquote gay narrative, you could do it there where it would make more.
Oh, I would totally expect. Yeah. I would so expect the two of them. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Lumiere was sneaking around with the feather duster.
You know. But listen, he's open to different relationships, and I don't think we should judge him for that.
That's true,
absolutely.
But I don't. It's just funny. People are going to find something to bitch about either way. and it's, and this is the target right now. Like, I mean, you made points about, you know, I mean, you can say it about other things. You know, I don't want my kids to know about people from the Middle East, so I'm not going to let them watch Aladdin or
right?
stuff. And the whole thing about the, you know, I'm going to boycott because they announced that, you know, there's a small openly gay character in Beauty and the Beast when you have a lady who's dancing with a Sasquatch is sort of funny. So.
Right?
So that is what it is, I guess. But.
It's insane.
No, I don't. It's, people need something to bitch about, and this is just the target right now.
Right. Well, and how much but of this it, do, I mean, do you it think? Is what it is. How much of this do you think is we're just so saturated with Trump and his garbage? Honestly, that's why I decided to talk about this today and not more Trump garbage, because I'm so overwhelmed with it that mm-hmm. it consumes everything, and I think we just needed to step away and go, God, let's bitch about something else for a while.
Yep.
And this just happened to be going on.
I agree. Like,
is this a way that people are stepping away from politics, you know?
I think we all need to sort of take a step away. I mean, this administration has become something sort of very different. I mean, every day it's oh my God, the tweet. Oh my God, he sent a tweet. Oh my God, he sent a tweet. This person's recusing himself. This person had contact. It's like an assault on your senses.
Yeah.
Yep.
You almost don't have a moment to think and absorb any of what's actually happening. It's just outrage after outrage after ridiculous thing after stupid thing after childish remarks. So I like that you're not playing the Trump card right now.
Yeah.
I think that's great. It's nice to, I think everyone should just sort of turn the TV off for a minute. I mean, when you turn it back on, you're going to have a lot to catch up on. But,
yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and
yeah, I purposely didn't look at the news for like 3 days last week, and then I flipped it back on, and I felt so out of the loop because right. so much ridiculous crap
yeah.
happened.
Yeah.
But,
well, and there's a narrative out there from well-intentioned people, I would say, who are saying, listen, you have to be, you know, the reason we got ourselves into this position in the first place is because fucking 45% of America didn't even come out to vote. It's the apathy. You're not even right. tuned into what's going
sure.
on. And so there's sure. there is a hyper tune-inedness. It's hyper right now. Everybody's paying so much attention to it. I think we've swung the you know, the pendulum.
Well, and then as much as you don't want to watch it because of how ridiculous it is, it's like a train wreck. You can't sometimes peel away from it because it's so sure. intense.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, I think the Trump campaign and his, you know, election win did a couple things that are positive here. I think it shows that you don't need career politicians to you know, lead the highest office in the land. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing moving forward, I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it also showed that, you know, it's getting people engaged. I mean, the fact that it's so ridiculous and so outrageous at that point, it's people are paying attention, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
Right.
We're paying attention for all the wrong reasons right now, which is not good, but it's, I think there's a lot of people in the country that are paying attention. They're outraged because this is so blatantly not okay. You know, a lot of the things that are going on. And it's sort of, you know, the media is in the same tent. You got people that are being called fake news and all this other stuff. And
yeah,
it's going to take people who are watching and outraged around the country. It's going to take the media saying, you know what, screw this. We're reporting on the truth, whether you like it or not, or ban us from these press gaggles or anything. So,
yep. And I think too,
it's rough right now, but you know,
I think, who was it? Sean King was talking about the dip that, you know, right before any major, progress in our nation's history, there's always been a dip where we've kind of fallen backwards first. And then we went running, charging up the hill. I think of it like a slingshot, you know, if progressiveness is the ball in the slingshot, and you, now we're just pulling it back. And by pulling it back, it's outraging all of the people who need to listen. Democrats are an apathetic bunch of people. It takes a lot to get progressively minded people to come to the polls. And it's just, that's statistic. When Democrats vote, Democrats win. But it's getting them to the polls, you know, that's the, right. they need to have polling places at the Dunkin' Donuts. But so
the Pokestops can double as polling places.
You're purposely trying to make it easier.
Yeah, exactly.
What's going on?
That's all I'm saying. So, you know, when you pull back the slingshot, when you let it go, hopefully in 4 years, we'll just go charging into the future. That's, I'm trying to remain like hopefully optimistic.
I'm very optimistic. Like I joke around about everything that we see coming out of the White House right now, but I'm very optimistic. I mean, we've been through some ridiculous stuff just in the last 100 years. I mean, we've gone through a world war, another world war. Yeah. We've gone through Vietnam. I mean, the 60s were super racially divided, and we're in a very, very different place now. I mean, we've gone through some really tough stuff, and I don't expect us to be any less resilient now. I think if Trump keeps on the path he's going now, and he doesn't swing towards the positive as far as the public perception and policy, if that doesn't happen really soon, we're in for a very, very exciting 2020 campaign, I think.
Yeah.
So I got a question for you, Jake. What's your opinion on this? I know there's a lot of fluff articles going around, but if they do come to fruition, do you think that this Beauty and the Beast thing is going to affect Bob Iger's chances of running for president in 2020?
I want to go on record first as saying, please, I don't care what party Bob Iger runs as. I would vote for Bob Iger.
You will or you won't?
Because I just... Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. Oh, yeah. I just assume he'll just buy Mexico. He'll buy Canada. Yeah. I just assume that that's worked really well for him here. So I have a feeling it'll just be the same thing. Anything he has a problem with is not working right. Well, at least go ahead and go purchase it. So.
You know, one of our patrons, Russell, posted about that. Kind of asking for our opinions, and my opinion was, I'm less than excited about it. Having worked for the Walt Disney Company in the past, and while I was so separated from him in the ladder of the Disney hierarchy,
right.
Two things. One, it's an environment that's been created, whether in any responsibility of his or. Wow, what's that fool's name that fucked up everything in the 90s? What was his name? Michael.
Eisner.
Yeah, Michael Eisner. Anyway, whether it's Iger or Eisner, the truth of the matter is there's an atmosphere there where, and I'm talking parks and resorts here. I don't know what the
films
and all of that. I don't know what the media wing is like, but where we talk a good game about caring about our employees and all of those things, but the actions are not always necessarily matching of that. And again, I don't want to like completely link it back to him, but I read a really great article yesterday about the Trump presidency and how, for years I had been hearing, and I came from Republican talk radio, right? So that people would say, well, we need a businessman. We need a business. They'll clean up the... And I've thought this as well, right? They'll clean up the ledger. They'll get us out of debt. Get a businessman in there. Well, here's the problem with businessmen. Businesses are not democracies, right? The person at the top is the ruler of the business. And whether that's a board of directors or a president and CEO or however the business is structured, there's somebody in command.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to call all the shots. They don't have to ask, hey, what do you guys think we should do? Like we do in a democratic republic. And so my only concern with the let's put a businessman in the White House is that.
I think the biggest thing is to look for somebody who's grounded. And I'm fairly confident that somebody like a Bob Iger, and this is just using that type of person, if we're going to talk about Bob Iger potentially running for whatever office.
Right.
I think it's important to have someone that's grounded. And I think it's very clear that Donald Trump is not that.
He's not grounded. He's the opposite of grounded.
He's the 70-year-old guy, and he watches a lot of Fox News, reads a lot of Breitbart, listens to a lot of Alex Jones.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We can tell because whatever is spoken about earlier that day on those shows appears in a tweet during the bowel movement at 4 a.m. So that's how we know it's what he's watching. It's an easy pattern to follow, and that's scary that he's ignoring the intelligence community. He's not going to briefing. He's down in Mar-a-Lago playing golf in tight white pants. And that bothers me that that's not where he's getting his information. He's getting it from Tucker Carlson, who you know, like that's where he's getting his news from. And that's scary, man. Like,
yeah.
That's not okay. That's not okay at all.
One last thought, I think, on the,
sure,
on the Bob Iger conversation, is in 2020, right? I think a lot of us were reignited in this past election cycle, on both sides, right? It was the progressive message of Bernie Sanders that got me fired up, that got me,
sure,
that's what got me out to the polls, right? And I voted for Hillary because, God, look what we've got. Sure. But, you know, I look at the future and I think, my God, those are the things I want. I want to create a place where we give a fuck about people because it's the right thing to do, and not because I'm going to get some sort of personal financial reward for doing it, or it's my money, I worked hard for it, and you shouldn't have it. You should just work hard and get your own money. You know, a single mother should get a minimum monthly pay, a minimum living payment. They're raising the future generations of our country. And yet we look at them like, well, you should, you know, you need to go to work and get a job and have money. So it's that kind of stuff that really kind of fired me up about that far progressive left. I want to see something of that in 2020 as well. If it comes out as politics as usual again, I think I'm going to fall into the apathetic bucket again. I don't know.
Sure. I think that's something that the Democrats have to learn, especially after the sweeping loss this last election, is that people want something different. Mm-hmm. And if you don't take away that message, even though they didn't vote for your guy, the message is clear that they want something different than the politics as usual.
Right.
And if you don't take that message away, I don't know how much more clear it can be that you shouldn't be running the Democratic Party. If you can't take that message away, that they want something different. I mean, the writing is very much on the wall. I think the big thing about Bernie Sanders is, when I would casually, because I didn't campaign, I didn't wear the bumper stickers or any of that. So, but whenever I would mention, you know, I think the guy I would like to see is Bernie Sanders. I have some conservative friends who, you know, who I have a great dialogue with, and they don't scream, they don't insult, they don't throw the word snowflake out there. And we really have some great conversations that come from just talking. I mean, and one of the things that I will always say is, well, I don't like how he's going to do that. And I kind of had to stop and say, listen, all right, so I agree that, you know, maybe every way he wants to try and implement them, he said in the primaries, mind you,
right,
that he wants to implement some of these things, like raising the minimum wage, what he would do to pay for that, what he would do for free, college tuition, things like that, healthcare. I would agree that maybe there might be a better way to go about it. But by voting for someone like Donald Trump, you're saying, I don't even want to pursue those things. I'm not even interested in the things that Bernie wants to pursue.
Yeah.
Never mind them being the right or best way to do it. Just finding the best way to do it is going to take both sides coming together and agreeing on something that's going to be a bit of a compromise.
Yep.
And I think any adult understands how that works. But by voting for someone like a Bernie Sanders, you're saying, these are the things that are important to me that I think we should start pursuing for a better generation behind us. And by someone like Donald Trump, you're saying, I'm not even interested in that. I want a bigger military. Yeah. And I get the whole border security thing. I do understand. And I think there are comprehensive ways we can look at that in a humane way that doesn't make us enemies across the world. But that's where we're at. So
let's swing back to this Beauty and the Beast thing. We're going to take a break. Segue. We're going to take a break. I know, right? We're going to take a break here in a minute. And then we're going to come back and talk about Emma. Some more about Emma Watson.
Mm-hmm. Emma Watson.
My girl. what are your thoughts on feminism and the feminist movement in our country?
Well, I don't think you ever met my girlfriend, Danny, did you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've met Danny.
Have you?
Yeah.
Great. So
I haven't, but okay.
So I am super. You need to, because I am. Super,
well, then y'all should lucky. Come over for a fire pit cookout.
Yeah, fire pit cookout.
We may.
Yeah.
Listen, I may take you up on that.
Please do.
But we absolutely. But she's one of the most strong-minded, empathetic people I've ever met in my life. I think she knows what is right and how people should behave. And I'm very, very proud to be, you know, have her in my life. But I don't think it's a question about what I think about feminism. It's not my fight. I all I need to do is be supportive. And I think that, you know, it's hard because I feel like as a man, I don't have a place to talk about feminism. I
mean, you don't think you have a horse in that race, huh? Right.
Well, let me give you
like that. We're having to
let me give you an example though, that I think that I think may help you process that.
Sure.
This is past tense, right? I didn't feel like it was my place to talk about the black experience in America and racism.
Sure.
Right? Because I'm a white person. I have the privilege that comes along with that. But
absolutely, yeah.
There has to be that conversation from both sides, right? So people of color have to speak and tell their own experiences and share their stories. And the rest of us, I feel, you know, in our limited capacity as an ally, have to be able to say, yeah, those crazy fucking rednecks in Kentucky. Did you see this? I don't know where it was. The guys, the lady, the man and the woman in the pickup truck with the fucking rebel flags that crashed this little boy's birthday party. Right?
It was Georgia.
Those people are not my people, right? And that's not my America.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll stand with you, and I love you, and that's how it's going to be. So I say the same thing, and having lived as in both a male and female experience as well, you know, that's something that I kind of connect with, like, just sure. for myself, you know? Like, you have to have the allies.
Yeah.
I think it's just not wanting to be just another white guy speaking on behalf of a group of women. I think that's where I'm. I think that's where I'm a little bit leery, because I think white men have spoken on behalf of a lot of other people for too long.
Very true.
Yeah.
And so I'm cognizant of that, but at the same time, like this. It's sort of funny because it shouldn't even be an argument. This is something that I think it's obvious that it needs to change. Why all people don't get, you know, get treated the same and the whole double standard. I know you want to bring up Emma Watson, and I know where you're going with that. So I'll let you move on because I really want to hear this one.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for calling in, buddy. And seriously, Monday mornings, you are more than welcome to come over and do the show with us.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys should come over some evening. We'll have brats on the fire.
Man, it's my pleasure. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jake. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right. Bye, guys. Take care.
So there's another story here that I wanted to get to before we move on off the Beauty and the Beast topic. There is a... Let me re-forward the phone here so that if you want to call in, you can. 224-40-SARAH, 224-407-2724. Comment on our social media. Let us know what you think about this. Alabama drive-in cancels Beauty and the Beast over its gay character. I'm sorry, you can't even make this garbage up.
Well, they're trying
up.
To get it banned in Russia, too. There's like all these whatever. Articles going around. It's all kinds of crap.
Where is this article from? I want to give credit where credit's due. SF Gate.
Is that San Francisco?
Yeah, it must be. Oh, damn it. Now I lost the article. Okay. I'm too busy looking for the source. well, it's from an Associated Press national writer.
Okay.
All right. The so-called gay movement in Disney's new live-action version of Beauty and the Beast is subtle. So subtle that one could easily miss it with an ill-timed sneeze or glance away from the screen, and it may sail over the heads of young viewers. But the cast and director say it is indeed a gay moment, one they're proud of, and advocates are calling it a big step forward for Disney and for youth entertainment. Mere word of it was also enough to lead one Alabama drive-in theater to cancel plans to show the film, apparently without having even seen it, because it doesn't open nationwide until March 17th. The scene in question involves the character of LeFou, the timid and lovable sidekick to the preening villain Gaston. Without spoiling too much, it's safe to say that LeFou spends much of the film in Gaston's thrall, and towards the end also has a moment, a few seconds really, where the same-sex theme is more overt. At the film's L.A. premiere on Thursday, Gad said he was very proud of the scene. Cancel the show, right? Do what you got. Listen, I don't think... We have a drive-in nearby here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty popular for, you know, again, for a drive-in theater. I don't know how popular this Alabama drive-in theater is, but...
Well, it's a different part of the country. You've got to remember, our drive-in theater is in...
You're right. Right. In...
The neck.
in the Red County.
We had two of them when I was a kid. And mm-hmm. and by the time I was a teenager, they were both like pretty much run down and gone.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think depending on where you go and where you are, and they are still a thing in a lot of places. So
speaking of being a teenager, I remember being a teenager, and there was a lot of conversation about no jokes about me being having a terrible memory. God. You let me down there. I was
waiting
it.
For you to finish your story. I was trying to be polite. I didn't want to cut you off. Now you ruined it.
Where?
Save that one for later.
The conversation used to be a lot about there were no African Americans in our television and movies. Mm-hmm. Where were their representation, right? And how many of these TV series that were coming out were portraying women or included females in their cast? All that kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is just the next thing in that line.
Well, what the old TV shows when the married couples didn't even have
their beds
one bed.
Together,
like they had two twin beds in their bedroom and they were on opposite sides of the room. Like this is all just the evolution of society and what they think is acceptable. And it's all just nonsense because everybody knows you're watching I Love Lucy and they're not sharing a bed, but you're like, as a kid, like, wait, well, but mom and dad have their own, you know, like it's just stupid.
Yeah. But you're right. It's just the next thing in the social progress. Right. And then, all right. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Emma Watson. I need to wipe the drool off my chin because specifically we're going to be talking about feminism and Emma Watson's boobs. We'll be back after this.
Hey guys, let's play some video games.
This new dad plays video games with his sons, but the challenge feels like he's lifting a metric ton.
So many buttons.
His avatar just stares at the walls, twists and turns and somehow falls.
Help me.
He's tangled up in the controller's cords.
I just don't understand this crazy digital world.
Crazy, crazy digital world.
Zeros and ones.
But the love from his kids is totally apparent. See, you don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent.
You should have just played catch. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of siblings in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You're busy, I'm busy, we're all busy. That's why I listen to podcasts, and it's probably why you listen to podcasts, too. And that's why I use Audible, and I know you're going to love it too. I love to read, but I also have two rowdy kids and a crazy third shift job and putting together material for the show, and that just doesn't leave a lot of free time to read like I used to. Now I can listen to an audiobook in the shower, on the drive to work, and don't tell my boss, sometimes even at work. These are the popular books you've been wanting to read, titles from the New York Times bestseller list, the Oprah Book Club, authors like John Grisham, J.K. Rowling, Carrie Fisher's The Princess Diarist, Here's one I know you'll want to hear. A gray totalitarian world dominated by Big Brother and its vast network of agents, including the Thought Police. A world in which news is manufactured according to the authorities' will, and people live tepid lives by rote. Sound familiar? George Orwell's 1984 has found new meaning in the Trump era, and yes, it's available right now at Audible. Audible has over 180,000 titles in every genre, classics, biographies, science fiction, romance, mysteries, you name it. As a Sarah Talk listener, Audible is offering you a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. What free book will you choose? Orwell's 1984? The Harry Potter series? Here's my suggestion. Many of you listen to this podcast for our criticism of religion and outspoken atheism. Start with God is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything by the late Christopher Hitchens. Then send me an email. Let me know what you think. Take advantage of this special promotion, a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial. Go to audibletrial.com/Saratalk and download your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/Saratalk. Welcome back to Sarah Talk. I'm Sarah Austin. With me in the studio, my wife, Becca.
Your very jealous wife, Becca.
Listen, have you seen Emma Watson?
Yeah, I have. A little bit too much of her, but...
again, before we move on, if you'd like to still comment in on the Beauty and the Beast drama, 224-407-2724. And we're going to talk about feminism here in a minute, and you're welcome to join us for that conversation as well if you have some thoughts on feminism in general. I found a couple more comments that I wanted to read for this Beauty and the Beast thing first, real quick. So a large amount of people, this is from Erland Springer. So a large amount of people are really angered that the Beauty and the Beast movie coming out made one of the characters gay, saying it's wrong to promote the LGBT agenda to kids. There is a much bigger problem, though. The majority of the characters in the movie are straight, which is crazy, because I don't think it's very responsible for Disney to be promoting the heterosexual agenda so aggressively to our kids. It's unacceptable, and I will be boycotting this movie. Get your shit together, Disney. Gosh. There's just, seriously, look in the, just search for it in the Facebook and you'll find some great stuff.
It's really good.
Okay, so Emma Watson posted a photo on, did she tweet or was this an Instagram? Oh, no, it was in Vanity Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. A photo that showed underboob, okay? This isn't like a topless, X-rated imagery. Very classy looking outfit, probably something that one would wear to an awards ceremony, right? In this day and age.
It's no worse than anything I've seen on any runway.
No, right.
That was the first thing I said when I saw it. I'm like, that's what right. It looks like. It looks like something a runway model would wear.
Right.
And you don't see anybody bashing runway models.
Right. But the anti-feminists have come out of the woodwork because... somehow, that's not feminism. There was a tweet from Julia Hartley Brewer that said, Emma Watson, quote, feminism, feminism, gender, wage gap. Why, oh, why am I not taken seriously? Feminism. Oh, and here are my tits. You know, as if to say, somehow showing your tits makes you not a feminist? Like, the movement started by burning your bra.
Right.
Like, yeah. Literally freeing your girl.
There's like a bunch of celebrities, well, maybe not celebrities by any kind of something they've done. Rummer Willis is a great example of this. Or Tallulah, one of the Willis girls with the weird names.
Okay.
Was maybe 2 years ago, was walking around out in public with no shirt on.
Yeah.
As a movement towards like feminism and like,
well, there's a whole free the nipple campaign, yeah, right? Where so, like if you post your picture on social media and and this is the beauty of it, right? If you can tell it's a feminine body,
right,
then they blur, you know, they block it and
right,
they take your image down. But if, you know, so there were a lot of like women posting pictures of themselves topless where they'd photoshopped a man's chest over where it's fucking ridiculous. Mm-hmm. If people have a hard time understanding what privilege is, right? And privilege very basically means I have something that you cannot have, mm-hmm, right? Once upon a time, I hardly ever wore a shirt because I didn't need to. Right. Because in our culture, guys can be topless. Mm-hmm. Nobody thinks a thing about it, right? And so then I thought, as I was going through my transition, well, that's interesting. At what point do I not, right, like, when do I have to give that privilege up? And I've given up a lot of male privilege, mm-hmm, through this process. And that's, I mean, that's just a small, like, stupid example of one.
Yeah.
But that's something that I had to, like, be conscious of.
Mm-hmm. And it's a very trivial thing, but it's still something that, you know, you have to be aware of.
Right. And so, you know, some, I guess people have this opinion of feminism that it's growing your leg hair out and never shaving your armpits and eating lots of kale.
I don't understand that either.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I think that it's getting lost in translation. People hear feminism and they knew someone that their mom grew up with that was in the original Burn Your Bra, and she just happened to be a hippie who was a vegan, who was all like, you know, like, so just, you know, because there's some people that are okay, let's say when you think hippie, you think of somebody at Woodstock smoking pot with long hair wearing tie-dye.
Right.
Right?
Yep, flowers in their hair.
Right.
Sure.
But, you know, so it's a very stereotypical type of society that we live in, and with labels, and you label something. Mm. And so when somebody says, I'm a vegan, your mind does all these things with that label.
Right.
And then so, because I think that's what it is when you get a picture in your head of something, what something looks like. And so, because my Aunt Lucy or whoever was a feminist in the 70s, all feminists from here on out are going to be wearing tie-dye and listen to the Beatles, and they don't shave their legs and they burn their bras. And that's just not like the labels are not evolving with the people.
Right. Well, and another thing about labeling, God, our species loves to label shit, right?
I mean, to label things, but that's because I have a label maker.
Okay. You're welcome. I set you up for that one. God, my eyes could not roll anymore.
Whatever.
I did. I set it up. I put it on a tee for you. So, you know, I think about the scientific worldview, and that's what we do. We categorize and label things and, mm-hmm, find things that are similar and that are different. And, mm-hmm, and we just have to analyze the fuck out of every little thing.
Everything has its own box.
That's what we do. I want to read a couple things from the article from HuffPo. Throughout her career, Watson has been a champion for women's rights. From her appointment as a UN Women's Goodwill Ambassador to her He for She campaign. There you go, Jake. There's your Men for, mm-hmm, Women's Rights group.
Yep.
That inspires men and boys to be agents of change in reducing the gender gap. To her feminist book that inspires members to read and educate themselves about female equality. We need to get a review copy of that book.
Mm-hmm.
Emma Watson has been a beacon for change when it comes to feminism. You know what? Maybe I'll make that next month's Audible book.
Okay.
Right? I've been listening to the Confessions of Anarchist.
Laura Jane Grace's new book.
It's got a really long fucking subtitle, but the title is Tranny.
Yeah.
Confessions of it's punk rock's punk most rock, notorious anarchist sellout, something or something like that. Which is fantastic. You should get that one too. And
she's awesome.
Yeah. I'd love to have, and she's from here, like she's from Florida, so we need to catch her off tour. She can come here and be in the studio. That'd be awesome. Anyway, my point is, go sign up for Audible and help us out on the show. audibletrial.com/Saratalk and you get a free, pick one of these books. Do this Emma Watson book. Yet with one photograph, she has allegedly been stripped, no pun intended, of recognition for her leadership towards equality and of her title as a feminist. Now, to me, feminism is about choice, right? It's about stay home and raise your kids if that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Go to work. Pursue your career, pursue a passion, travel the world, do whatever it is that you choose to do, right? We used to, as you were talking, the I Love Lucy and the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and like that, there was a pivotal swing in the media when our society started changing, right? But it used to be you didn't get to go to work, and only because we stuck our nose into a war did we force women into the workplace. I it'd be interesting to envision an America where that hadn't happened, right? And just to see how we would have, as social progressives, how that would have come about. I don't want to say more naturally, because this was very natural, but you know what I mean? Like, on its own, without the influence of war, how would we have eventually come to... that's an interesting...
How different would it have been?
Thought to, yeah. These are the things that keep me up at night, y'all. So, what does feminism mean to you?
I think you're on the right track there. The problem I have with feminism is probably because I'm just so much farther out than that. Like, my mind has evolved farther than that. I think it should be humanism.
Right.
I think that it shouldn't matter whether you're a boy or a girl or gender nonconformant or gender fluid or whatever you are. Do what makes you happy, what makes you healthy, what makes you thrive.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that because society is holding you back, then society is wrong.
Yeah. Right.
And
you're right. You're about three steps ahead. Yeah. You know, I mean, the reason that we have feminism is because there exists in our culture.
Exactly.
A male dominance. Mm-hmm.
And it just, it makes me sad that
women
that,
don't have.
That that's what it is. Like, and I can't, I mean, my grandmother, she was, probably, I was very close to her when I was young, but she would work. She went to work when they moved down to Florida. I don't know when, but she would tell me stories about being home and making dinner and taking care of the kids. And I just always kind of thought it was odd, because even as a child, even though I was told, you know, one side of what my reality was going to be, that I always had it in my mind, and maybe it was because my mom worked.
Right.
So I think you become a product of what your environment is. But my mom worked really hard. So I just always assumed that I was gonna have to work. Like and so I don't know. I just had a different.
Well, and don't you think too that there is that maybe not corporate America, but capitalism tricks you into thinking your choice. You get a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work. You have to, because you got to pay the bills, right? Who's going to put food on the table?
Yeah.
And our culture has changed drastically from when even my parents were starting to raise kids, and in who, whether you could afford to have someone at home or not, with the other parent maybe not working an elevated job, maybe working an entry level or a factory level or something like that.
Well, and the portrait of what a family looks like has changed drastically too, because way back when there was no such thing as divorce. Nobody got divorced.
Yeah.
And so you had a mom and a dad, and you know, as I was growing up, I had friends that only had a mom or a dad. And so if you had, I mean, I had friends who they were being raised by single mothers and their moms had to go work to put food on the table. So, you know, society changes and things that maybe didn't happen 50, 60 years ago happen now and it's normal. Mm-hmm. So how do you, you know, you have to adapt to those things. So women have to go into the workplace because they have to take care of their children.
Right.
And they can't, you can't, I mean, we talked about the living wage and how that never seems to, the minimum wage never is a living wage.
Right.
But the yes. living wage goes up every year.
So the cost of living.
You know, it's astronomical yep. how much it costs to provide for a family. Uh-huh. And most people can't do that on a single income.
Right. And again, I'll want to draw a circle around one of the things that really drives me up the wall is that we don't see parenting as a job
mm-hmm.
when we totes should.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well, you're raising children and you're right. teaching them. They're the next generation right. that's going to come through and they're going to be learning these jobs and yep.
And so maybe you get a tax break for having a kid like in. But it's not
no.
It's not something that
it's nothing that compensates so
for the actual
that,
yeah. work that's being done, you know? Well, but that just to me that ties right back into a misogynistic view of what women do. Women are supposed to stay at home and raise the kids, and that's just how it's always been and that's how it's gonna be. And then you have to factor in single moms
mm-hmm.
and moms who want to work and not stay at home with their kids. And but if they do, we should be able the mm-hmm. collective community should be taking care of them.
Right.
Because one day this kid is either going down one of two paths.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is a productive, successful member in society, and the other one is robbing the liquor store and shooting people and committing crime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, those are two opposite ends of the spectrum. And we should be taking care of these
and as a parent,
people who are raising their kids.
And as a parent, it's your choice. It's like a lot of people will say, well, once I raise them, it's out of my hands. No, it's how you raise them.
Right, right.
You know, and there was going back to the cost of raising a child mm-hmm. for a minute. There was a blog or an article that a father wrote, and you sent it to me a while back. And it was all about why he couldn't afford for his wife to be a stay-at-home mom. Or
I think I remember that.
And it was yeah. like, because he categorized all the things that she would do as a stay-at-home mom. And if he had to pay somebody to come yes. in and do the laundry,
yeah,
and pay
yeah.
somebody to come in and cook dinner, and pay yep. somebody to clean the house, and all these things. And like a stay-at-home mom's salary is like out of the ballpark, because it would be just so expensive mm-hmm. to pay for those things that mom would do during her time at home.
Yes.
So, you know, it is a valuable thing. And your children, even if you can't stay at home with them, you still need to be with them when you're with them and not just zoned out. And so many times, especially in this technology-driven yes. world, we get lost in our phones.
I catch myself doing that so often.
And it's horrible for yeah. these kids because they need that human connection,
yep.
especially with their parents.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for today, I think. We'll stop it there. If you have comments, those of you who were not able to listen live, if you want to comment on this, of course, you can comment on the episode when it posts to saratalk.com. You can post to our social media. You can call and leave a message at 224-40-SARAH, 224-407-2724, and I'll play that on a future show. You could become a patron at patreon.com/saratalk and comment there. I'm not going to say that patrons get preferential treatment when it comes to having their comments be put into the show, but they do. oh, that reminds me. Russell also asked, one of our patrons, Russell asked us to comment on, God, what was the other thing he wanted us to talk about? Oh, Chelsea Manning.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. And Edward Snowden.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll briefly do that.
Oh.
We're not going to make a big show out of it.
Mm.
Here's my thoughts on this. As long as the leaks and the whistleblowing And this is like you're walking the razor's edge. As long as the leaks and the whistleblowing do not put us in greater jeopardy, then I think you have to have watchdogs. You have to have somebody out there going, hey, we're not going to just let the government run off and do whatever the fuck they want to do. If this is bad for us as people, mm-hmm. I've got to say something. And I think that's where I stand on whistleblowing. Okay.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. So comment about all of these things on our social media and our website. And we are working on some upcoming shows. There's some books that I'm trying to get a hold of and do some interviews with some authors. I'm still working on the show about relationships and human relationships and polyamory and monogamy. And the first half of that show is recorded, and it's driving me up the fucking wall that I have the first half done, but I don't have... So the second half, I'm looking for a therapist or a psychologist to speak on the topic from the psychological, sociological viewpoint. So if you know of anybody and can suggest, I've got one more person I can reach out to. The first one I reach out to just didn't answer at all. But so I'm going to reach out to some more people and see what I can do there. On Earth Day, Saturday, April 22nd, is the March for Science. Go to marchforscience.com to find a local event in your area. If you are in the Orlando area and want to hang out with us, let us know. There are two events that we're considering. One is in Orlando at Lake Eola, and the other is in Lakeland, Florida, at one of the college campuses. So if you're planning on going and you want to meet up with us just to say hey, you know, shake your hand, and I don't shake hands. I do the whole namaste thing because I think it's really disgusting that all the germs that you have in your hands. But you know what I mean, right? If you want to meet us and say hi, let us know where you're going to be.
I've never seen you do the namaste.
Oh, thing. I do it at work all the time. Really? Oh, I don't shake people's hands. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's a thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's disgusting. We'll have to do a show about that. Has that fucking giraffe given birth yet?
No. And I'm watching a different feed now.
Yeah, that was, you sent me that. So funny. We'll post this too.
Yeah. It's Aaron Dietrich was live. It's really good.
How long have we been watching this damn giraffe?
Well, and here's the thing about the giraffe. The zoo put up the video so people could watch the giraffe.
Yeah.
They never announced that the giraffe was in active labor, but everybody just assumed it because there's a video that she's in an active labor. But let me tell you about giraffes. They're like pregnant for like 17 months or something. Holy shit. I wouldn't want to be a giraffe.
Oh my God.
So yeah, giraffe. Little April and Oliver, I guess, is her mate's name.
Yeah. Go watch the giraffe. But the other one you're talking about is really funny.
Yeah, it's a spoof video.
It's a pregnant giraffe.
It's a pregnant giraffe, but it's a spoof. But yeah, it's I'll post it to Sarah Talk.
Yeah, we'll put it on the Facebook, and I'll probably link to it in the show notes as well.
Hey, guys.
Oh, damn it. Play the wrong freaking clip. All right, there we go.
Well, you know.
It all comes out in editing. Thank you for listening today. Thank you, Jake, for calling in. I really appreciate your thoughts on all of that discussion. Join us next week on Monday morning at 9 o'clock. We're going to do the show live each week. So we look for you next week. You're listening to Sarah Talk.
Sarah Talk is made possible by listener support. Visit patreon.com/Sarah Talk to become a patron and help keep this program going. Contact Sarah and company by email at producer@saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. And follow us on social media, facebook.com/saratalkradio and on Twitter @saratalkradio. Sarah Talk is a production of Sarah Austin Media.